Welcome to the BetUS Soccer Channel. I'm Flash. This is Europa League round of 16, and it is the second leg. We've got seven games for you. Four of them are already done in my book, but three of them are evenly poised. And that means we're going to have a bravery, but we're going to have value. But before we get into it, and we've got an old guest coming back, not old as in age, but old as in he was one of the seeds of this oak tree. And look forward to seeing how well he's looking. But first of all, we're America's favourite sportsbook, so I'd like you to subscribe to BetUS TV's number one subscribed channel. So just add to that and let's pull away, because we are far mightier than thou. Okay, also, I'd like you to ring the bell, which means I'll notify you and you'll never miss any content again. And that can be La Liga, Bundesliga, Serie A and the Premier League, Europa League and Champions League. And before you know it, we're going to be into Copa America and the European Championships from Germany. If you like your odds, your props, your offers and your bonuses, then please type in betustv.com/odds. And there's some lovely bonuses, maybe even some free bets. So get yourself over there and enjoy. We're going to have chat, and I say we, you will be the ones doing the chat. I'll be doing the reading and there will be a Q&A. Obviously, it's Europa League, so we have to bring in Europe's finest. So we start off with our Alex Classic Tips, who what he doesn't know about European football, it's not worth. You could write on the back of a postage stamp and still have enough room for your name and address. Then we have to go to, I don't know, is he like the Duke of Valencia? Is he like been? Is he like royalty in Valencia? Paco from La Liga Lowdown. How are you, Paco?
Very well, guys. Super happy to be. No, really. Yeah, I look tired. Many people say that.
This is his happy face. This is
this is my happy face. I was going to get a straight yellow. I thought the yellows were coming out early.
I'm this close to start using these two very quickly against you guys if you continue this kind of, you know, pushing my buttons in this way. Super happy to be back to the show. And as you said, maybe, looking a bit more tired, a bit older. Yeah, sleeping at night has become a bit difficult with the baby, as you know. But yeah, things are looking fine,
and
she's
already
about
anymore.
To make 1 year. Yeah, she's not a baby anymore. Yeah, she's being one just in a few weeks. So, yeah, time flies, right?
Any plans to second member of the team or not?
I guess that we should at least, wait, sit on it a bit and try to recover ourselves as parents. I think that's the main focus at this point.
Let me tell you a secret, Paco, because my daughter is 6 and a half, almost 7. She's in school already. So make sure that you enjoy everything right now, because as they say, younger kids, little issues, you know. Small issues. Yeah. Bigger kids, huge issues,
I'm
every year this is becoming more and more obsessed.
More and more difficult. Yeah.
And more and more expensive. The
Three times a year.
Three times a year.
And imagine if she's a girl as mine, you know. Two girls in the house.
All right, okay, well, let me give you a little tip there, Alex, before we get into the nitty-gritty. But having a girl is easier because you can actually give them boys' clothes as well, you know, so you've got both markets to shop from. Listen, if you've got a boy, I don't care about standing on ceremony and being non-PC. Don't be giving them girls' clothes, right? Because that's not quite right. But with girls, they
nowadays,
can wear jeans.
2024 Flash, you can do that.
Yeah, the unisex clothes are the rage at this point.
Perfect. Absolutely.
That's not the issue.
And already we have on the chat. Our friend Auris is asking: is Alex and Paco related? They look like brothers. Yeah, from another mother.
Yeah, exactly. From one point on the opposite one of the continent. Yeah, definitely.
Okay,
because we are both in Europe, so it's okay.
Yeah, right,
that's the small talk. Paco, what do we think about these the Spanish sides in Europe in general? Can even throw in the Champions League because Spanish football has been very, very watered
lacking
down, let's say.
Yeah, lacking. The word is lacking. Leaving aside Real Madrid, who, you know, have that kind of gravitas allowing them to move on to the following round, even when they are worse than the opposition, as it happened against Leipzig. I think that overall, Barca have a very tough challenge ahead of them. Atletico are in the same spot. Real Sociedad did their best, but they had in front of them mighty PSG. And, you know, the Europa League and Conference League have been absolutely rubbish for Spanish side. And, you know, the
it's like they don't care, man. It's not like that. Maybe in the mostly in the Conference League, they don't care.
They've not got the depth, Alex.
Yeah, I think Flash has a point. I think that the squads are not deep enough to be able to challenge properly the opposition and you know, line up 22 reliable players. I think that is an issue plaguing most of La Liga sides, leaving aside maybe Barca, Atletico, and Real Madrid. But yeah, I was about to say that the tipping point definitely was last week's game of Villarreal being played against Marseille. That was an absolute train wreck of a game. And I think that it shows, that's the perfect encapsulation of just how bad overall Spanish football, leaving aside a couple of exceptions, has been this season in Europe.
And especially when Villarreal entered into that game in probably their best form and best little run of results they've had all season in La Liga.
Yeah. And most of that, especially how Marseille is performing in European competitions year in and every year, you know?
Very bad. They were a train wreck. They were a train wreck 6 weeks ago. That, I mean, they were having like proper protests until they
under Gattuso,
they were the Ivory Coast.
Yeah,
they got the Ivory Coast manager.
Yeah, yeah. Under Gattuso, they were awful. Remember, Marcelino was the manager at the beginning of the season. He left because of threats being delivered to him and to the president and so on. He left Marseille. A couple of months later, he became Villarreal's manager, and they had a showdown last week. And it definitely didn't go the Marcelino's way. So that is going to be quite tricky game this following match day, because Villarreal with four goals to overcome, I think that's as impossible as it gets.
Okay, well, just a quick one, no pressure. Before we start getting into these games, we had Roman from La Liga Lowdown last week. Has anyone any idea on how he got on? Because normally he leaves you some coffers to spend, but I'm not too sure he did.
One and two.
So no, then, unless the one was at like plus 300.
He got Marseille right,
but he got Liverpool and under 4.5, Leverkusen and under 2.5.
There you go. No good. That's why he's not back. That's why we got Paco. Let's go with the first game. And evenly poised. And this one let a lot of people down in the first leg, because everyone saw it as Benfica would win and win comfortably. Nothing further from the truth. Rangers plus 175. Benfica plus 135 tells you straight away that you look at the bottom of the page and it's plus 275. The first leg was the Desmond. Over 2.75 goals is strange when we had four in the first leg. And now over 2.75 is the favourite at minus 120. Both teams to score two is at plus money. Plus 130 for Rangers to score over 1.5. Benfica plus 100 over 1.5. Paco, where do we go with this game?
Well, the fact is that the track record between these two sides has always ended in a draw. You know, it's quite weird. The last three times that these two teams have faced each other, we've always had draws between them. So, you know, as things have changed lately with all of the value of the goals being scored away from home and so on, I think that it's going to be a very cagey game. You know, the 2-2 in the first leg, I think it was, you know, a very balanced game overall, but Rangers are mighty at home. I think that is one of the you know, main issues that is going to plague Benfica in this game, especially as, you know, they've shown quite the proficiency when defending, even though they weren't able to do that in the first leg with Jack Butland. And, overall, Benfica have the attacking ability, but scoring hasn't been lately their main strength. So, you know, the draw looks quite tasty, especially as the precedents in this case are speaking about this kind of balance between both.
Do we think this goes all the way, Paco, to penalties? Do we think that neither side wants to give anything?
Or even to the extra time. But, you know, ultimately we're speaking about the 90 minutes in this case. I think that, yeah, definitely it could go to straight to the line and we could see a penalty shootout, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen this type of game before, Alex, and it's a case of Rangers obviously like being a European night and it's going to be absolutely partisan. But that could play into Benfica's hand because Rangers will be spurred on by the crowd, go forward, overcommit, and Benfica, well, listen, there's not many sides in Europe that you want to be going and overcommitting against.
Yeah, and that is that will be the biggest mistake if Rangers will do that. And they will probably do that because you know how the atmosphere is at Ibrox and they will be pushed to go all guns blazing from the start of the game. And Benfica, like you said, are deadly on the break. They have so much pace. They have so much creativity with Di Maria playing an important role there. I think that Rangers will score. I saw a stat earlier in this morning. Each of the last, all of the last 17 games for Rangers have not been goalless at halftime. So we had at least one goal in the first half of each game, and over one goal on the Asian handicap is at -125. And I think that that is a great value bet. I think that we will see at least a goal in the first half. I think that, like you said, the Rangers will overcommit. Benfica are great on the break. And I think that Rangers were very, very lucky in the first leg to concede just two goals. Benfica were amazing, in my opinion. They missed some great opportunities on their own. And I think that we are looking for another high-scoring affair. So I'm going again with the Alex Classic at -110.
Yeah, the -110. I mean, that's better than the over 2.75. Because if it gets three goals, it's -120 only for a half win. I think Benfica are the better side. But obviously with Rangers almost thinking that the hard job's been done. 2-2 in Benfica.
Keeping the game alive towards the second leg. That was the main issue in the first game, and Rangers only had that goal on their mind. So yeah, definitely as Alex said, the Ibrox Park factor is going to play in from the get go in this game. But as he said, 24 shots in the first leg, only 5 of them on target. That's the main issue. Benfica attack, but they don't do it very well. And that's why Rangers got a bit lucky in that sense.
Yeah, Asher says Rangers always seem to be given a penalty or a gift at home. But the big thing is, Ash, that means that they have got to get into the opposition's final third. So they've got to be playing on the front foot, which for some reason, I don't want to go and get in the way of this Benfica side. Because, again, we see it so often that just when you think you're on top, this is the type of side that will sting you. And also, whenever you took Benfica, we've got to be talking about bookings. This could be one of them games where if Rangers do go behind, they could start getting a little bit desperate and Benfica don't mind rolling around. And listen, if Rangers get in front, then Benfica might do exactly the same. So bookings could be a nice way to go as well. Let's have a little look at the official picks of game number one. Both teams scored over the old Alex Classic at -110. Let's move on to game number two, because this is not evenly poised, but it could be one of those where the away side think they've done enough. Slavia Prague +205 are dangerous here, and that's why they're +205. Milan at +115. Personally, I like the draw at +285. I think Milan will try and keep Slavia Prague at bay. Wouldn't put anyone off of Slavia Prague. Double chance. Slavia Prague draw, no bet. But it's over 2.75. Alex again is at -120. I don't think Milan get beat, but I also don't think they're going to extend themselves to get a victory either.
Oh, I think that Milan will qualify further. They qualified 40 times from 46 wins at home in the first leg in the European competitions. And I don't think that this will be a different thing. And yes, like you said, hopefully Milan will not say, okay, we did our job in the first leg. Now it's time to rotate, because Slavia Prague, let me tell you, they were very dangerous in the first leg. And only because the left back, Diouf, got red carded, Milan scored 4 times. But Slavia Prague missed some great opportunities at 3-2, at 2-1. Every time they were about to find the back of the net. And at home, in Prague, in front of an amazing atmosphere, like always, Slavia Prague, Sparta Prague, their fans are absolutely crazy. And I think that they will find the back of the net against Milan. If Slavia goes 1-0 early in the game, I think that Milan will have to start to play, you know. I wanted to ask you, because for the last 3 weeks, but we are talking only about Bundesliga. Rafa Leao, again, one of the most talented players, in my opinion, in Europe, but very sloppy in many, many matches, very I don't want to play type in so many matches. What is happening with this type of players? I really don't understand why, at his talent, he should be like, I don't know, 1,000% into the game, every single game, or stay on the bench. And if you're not committed, why he doesn't commit, why he doesn't play, why he doesn't care in many situations?
I think that question is made by Stefano Pioli himself many, many times, because definitely he would be happy with Rafael Leao being much more consistent most of the time. I think that it might be related to that kind of, and Flash knows definitely what I'm talking about, wasted talent with sheer quality of those players who are pure anarchy in other sides of the game. You know, they are so talented that they don't bother.
Balotelli, right?
That kind of player, definitely. Balotelli and, even that kind of, I was talking about anarchy, back in the day, Zlatan was that kind of player who just, he decided when he wanted to be to make the difference in a game. He was in charge of deciding that thing, when most of the time, 99% of the time, players don't have that kind of power. So Rafael Leao is very talented, definitely, and I remember last game against Slavia, he was playing on the left, and as you said, he generated danger, but it would be much easier for Pioli if he did that every single game. Unfortunately, he doesn't, so that's the issue.
And he had the best grade on the game, 8.3 on so many sides, but for who was watching the game, and for who knows something about this kind of game, he didn't deserve to be the man of the match, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. He needs to move. He needs to move. And I liken it, just in the short term, of Thuram, right? Thuram got to the stage where it looked like he was not bothered, but he was still the star or the game winner in their games. He goes to Inter, and he works his absolute socks off like he's been reborn. Milan, it's too easy for him, because when he turns it on, he becomes the match winner, he becomes the star. And he's a poor man's, at the moment, he's a poor man's Vinny Jr., right? So what he needs to do is go to a team where he's looking around and he's not the star, and he sees the way that the stars actually work. So this is the way we do it. I mean, he would be ideal for Inter. Let me tell you now, if Inter could go and get him, that would be it. But I'm not.
Yeah, but
sure
that would be war in the city, so exactly, that is not going to happen.
No, exactly. Or someone, again, because Milan, have all their successes, all of what they do in individual games is down to being a team. Is down to being no stars. Yes, he's your match winner. Yes, he can create. But they have a team that are together. And it's as simple as that. Well, how do you see this game going, by the way, Paco?
Yes, as Alex said, the first leg was a bit tricky towards the viewer, because you see the scoreline and you might believe that Milan were far superior, and that was definitely not the case. And actually, till Pulisic scored the fourth goal with 5 minutes to go, Milan were very, very close to disaster against 10 men. In that sense, I think that Diouf's red card severely, penalized Slavia Prague. But I think we have a game this week. I definitely think that two-goal advantage is not near enough to bring down Slavia. And actually, in the preview for the game, I was reading yesterday what Slavia's manager, Posky is his name. He was saying that definitely they can overturn things. So Milan should really not get too comfortable and believe that they will have to work their socks off, as you said, to really at least keep the opposition at bay and not be surprised, especially in the first 15-20 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I think the under is a possibility here. But that goes out the window in 10 minutes if Slavia Prague get off to an absolute flying start. But I think that Milan need to be very strong, 10, 15, 20 minutes, quiet and the home crowd down and then just start passing the ball and frustrating. Let's have a little look at the official picks because I've gone with the biggest price here. I just think that Milan will get the draw. It's draw plus 285. Both teams scoring over 2.5 at minus 110. Oh, I hope that's a 2-2 then, Alex, because my draw is something that I really did fancy. I didn't think Milan would get beat, but I didn't think they'd do enough to actually bring home the bacon, even though the bacon's already cooked, in my eyes, at 4-2 in the first leg. Okay, talking about the bacon being cooked. In our next game, the bacon is burnt. Villarreal at plus 125. Marseille plus 185. I cannot remember the last time Villarreal scored 4. And that's what they're going to need to do just for parity because they did not turn up in Marseille and they trail 4-0 after the first leg. Draw is at plus 300. The under-over is set at 3. With the over-3 being at minus 125. Damp squid this game. Don't know where we're going to get the value, to be honest. Or is it one of those Marseille? They know the job's done, so Villarreal do win and just go money line plus 125.
Well, the fact is that at this point, especially after their horrible showcase last week, I believe that Villarreal have focused 100% in their La Liga chances of actually squeezing into European places. Remember that many of our viewers might not realize, but especially in this show, but Villarreal have been in shambles this season in La Liga for many, many, many match days before Marcelino arrived and was able to overturn things and, you know, just put together a few players and finally create some sort of something which resembled that team. They started winning games. They began stringing a couple of wins here and there. They actually turned things around against Betis last weekend with a 3-2 win over in Betis' ground. And especially after the train wreck last week against Marseille, I think that this game is just bothering for Villarreal. I think that many changes are going to happen in the lineup. Players who often don't have the chance of playing because most of their marbles, most of their eggs are going into the La Liga basket next weekend. Remember, they are playing against Valencia at home. Regional derby, important game for Villarreal fans. Also for Marcelino, remember he was back in the day Valencia's manager. So definitely I'm not expected to be impressed by Villarreal in this game. Especially after, you know, not only the 4-0, but just how easily Aubameyang scored last week. I think it was too easy for him overall. Mosquera was awful, by the way, in that first leg. So, yeah, looking into the value, I went, we'll later touch upon the picks. I went definitely with Marcel. I think they are going to win also this second game because Villarreal, just with their mind, their brain and their hopes placed upon another competition throughout.
Plus 300 is the draw also. So you could maybe go in Marseille double chance or Marseille draw, no bet. Alex, are you having it that the Villarreal, they basically wave the white flag and just say, OK, enough's enough. And we'll move on to La Liga project.
Probably, but you cannot. I mean, you cannot go into a second leg match, even if you lost 4-0 in the first one and say, OK, we don't give a damn about this one. Let's put the children at play, you know. It's still a Europa League match and they have a proper list of players that they can use and no, or not use. They cannot come with a B squad, you know. OK, you guys play right now. And I can't trust Marseille in the European competitions. And mostly on the road, they are a bad team to watch in the European competitions. They are not consistent either in a Ligue 1. I'm not even talking about the European competitions. I still think that Villarreal will want... Okay, I don't think that they will qualify. They need a miracle. They need, like... I don't think that they will qualify. But they will still put on a good fight. You know, I mean, it's their name on the line here. Okay, we cannot lose also a second leg against Marseille at home. I wouldn't go that far to take Marseille on the money line. Maybe both teams to score. I think that Villarreal will find... Also, at Marseille, after 4-0 in the first leg, I don't think that they will give everything. I think that also they will have a squad rotation. So you don't know what to expect from this match. This is why I stayed away.
Yeah, I stayed away because I wanted to go with Villarreal to win at plus 125, and it's a lineup check. Just because I think Villarreal, they made like, okay, well, let's just see if we play for the first 45, 55 minutes and see if we get back in the game. If we're 2-0 up with half an hour to go, then all of a sudden it's all on. And Marseille, are we tweety? Because I'll tell you about another thing about Marseille. Up until 6 weeks ago, you could not find a leader of that squad with a map or a compass. They were all shrinking violets, and that's why they was in the position, and that's why they're on their third manager of the season. Let's have a little look at the official picks. Villarreal, Marseille. A lot of people think Villarreal are big value at plus 125, but if they don't play the right team, then Marseille are the value at plus 185, as the Duke of Valencia has gone for. Let's move on to the best game. The best game is coming up now, please. Atalanta versus Sporting. Both sides will have their suitors. And a lot of people think this might go to penalties as well, which means you get plus 285 for the draw over 90 minutes. Atalanta at minus 115. Sporting at plus 274. Thought Atalanta were a better side in Portugal, to be honest, which did surprise me because Sporting have been going great guns recently. The under or over is set at 2.75. And that being basically a flip them. Both of them, the over and the under, at minus 115. Atalanta, though, a minus 122 to score twice. Alex, I'm going with a home side, and I'm confident here.
Yeah, I really like this game, and I fancy goals. I fancy high-scoring affair once again. There has been at least one goal at least one goal in the first 20 minutes of the game in each of Sporting's last seven matches across all competitions. Sporting are a team that know how to attack, not so much to defend. This is why I'm thinking that also Atalanta is a very consistent team. Even though we've seen some bad results lately, but let's not forget whom they played against. They played against Inter, they played against Juve, and they played against the surprise package of the Serie A this season, Bologna. But other than that, I really like them this season. I think that Gasperini finally arranged a great squad after losing so many players over the last 2 years. I think that this is a team to watch. Many players will leave again, so hopefully they will qualify in Europe next season. I fancy Sporting not to get beat here. So I'm going with Sporting plus half a goal at minus 115. I think that there is a really good chance that Sporting scores twice and they don't concede more than two goals.
So if you fancy that, would you not have gone with just the Sporting team total at plus 190 over 1.5? And that be, they could get beat 3-2.
Yeah, I fancy that, but I prefer Sporting because I cover two results, either the draw, either the Sporting to win, and is at minus 115. I still like Atalanta as a squad, as a team, and the consistency that they showed this season, but Sporting has more attacking firepower than Atalanta. So this is why I think that they will return home with at least the draw.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that the Inter Sporting Juve fixture list of Atalanta is not going to come and bite them on the backside, Paco, because I've got Atalanta being a better side in Sporting. I think they played through the lines really well. And Sporting were too, there was too big a gap from back to front. They left their striker was isolated, and it was almost like Atalanta could just pick up the pieces and wave after wave.
Yeah, I think that that's a handicap for Sporting for most of their European games, because we spoke earlier about this, the level of competitiveness in the Portuguese league is much inferior to what we see every weekend over at Serie A, and that I think also hobbles them to some extent whenever they face this kind of teams. Atalanta deserved to win in the first leg because they had, if I remember correctly, three shots into the woodwork, maybe.
Yeah.
Two or three, maybe. I think it was three incredible chances to score. And also Sporting scoring the opener, that made them to be a bit more on the defensive side of things. They didn't go forward with much faith, and they were most of the time just worried about defending themselves and try to keep that clean sheet, which they couldn't with that Scaramaca strike late in the first half. So I think that the game we're going to see this Thursday is going to be very different, because Sporting, most of the time when they go on the road in Europe, they lack that kind of, you know, I think they free themselves to some extent. And I predict, as you guys said, it's going to be very, very, a very narrow game, very tight. We'll see goals, definitely. But I think that the draw was quite tasty for many hours yesterday when I was making my picks. But, you know, once I saw the odds for Sporting winning this game, I had to go with it. Because when you go, things go narrow and tight, till straight to the line. Atalanta have many times dropped the ball when they had the chance. I remember 2-3 seasons ago, remember when they beat Valencia to death in a couple of games, and they were looking mighty, and suddenly the next draw was awful for Atalanta. And I think that Sporting can get the upper hand, definitely. And it would be the biggest upset of this round.
I was really surprised.
I don't think that it will be an upset if Sporting goes through.
No, because I was
yeah, they're the leaders.
In the first leg.
Yeah, they're the leaders.
The first leg was the way to go.
Yeah. The leaders in the Portuguese league, so they're having a great season so far. But, you know, Europe is different. I think Europe is a much bigger challenge for Portuguese sides. So
yeah, they love the Champions League. They love the Champions League, and they don't care sometimes about Europa League. And the
definitely.
Football.
Yeah,
but also I think the Italian league is the second strongest league in Europe. I mean, I think that you go through Inter, AC, Juve, Bologna, Lazio, Roma, Torino.
1,000%.
Oh my God! I mean, there's 10 sides that I would probably favour in the Italian league in Serie A against Sporting, and only because the body language of Sporting going 1-0 up in that first leg, they should have gone on and gone, let's crush this two-legged tie now, here. And
yeah, Flash, but definitely the value is on Sporting. Really.
Wow.
The value is on Sporting. Well, you cannot take Atalanta at minus 115 against Sporting in a double-leg tie in Europe.
We'll see. They had the opportunity at 1-0 to go and stamp this out, and then there would be no tie in the second leg. But I tell you what I saw. The fear of winning, and that's sometimes worse than the fear of losing, because they did take a backward step thinking 1-0 when they should have gone looking for the second and the third. And if it wasn't for the woodwork, this would be over, because Atlanta would have scored 4. So listen, let's have a look at the official picks here, because I've got Atlanta doing what Sporting should have done, and I am the rose between two fawns, because you've got Sporting Moneyline at plus 274, which is obviously just complete and utter crazy from the Duke. And you've got the Sporting double chance at minus 115, meaning he's got two of the three results. For me, Atlanta Moneyline, minus 115, all the way. And just to just have a bit of parity, CJ Ogden says Atalanta Moneyline is a banker. Let's move on. We knew this was a dodgy game last week. We knew. Leverkusen, minus 575 now to stick out Azerbaijan's Karabakh at plus 1,300. The draw was, it was 2-2. The draw is plus 625. How many goals did Leverkusen score this time, though, Paco? Because it's minus 146 for them to score 3. Karabakh, it's a flip 'em. I think that all of these, this graphic, bottom right-hand corner is where you're going to get the value of the Karabakh score or not at minus 115.
Yeah, I definitely can't understand how, you know, how large the gap is between these two sides, at least when talking about the odds, especially as the first game between them was, surprising to say the least.
Predictable. It's predictable.
Yeah, predictable, but... Yeah, that's what happens whenever Leverkusen play at home, and that's something to add to Xavi Alonso's long list of things that he's done well this season. He's become one of the European sensations, both in Bundesliga and also in European competitions. So, regardless of this fact, ultimately, it comes down to 90 minutes. And I've seen much more surprising things happening in European football. So whenever I see this kind of game with with the odds being so in favor and so against the other, I tend to just shoo my way out of the whole game. And I didn't even consider it because you said the word dodgy, and I definitely agree. Also, this second leg is very, very dodgy, and that's why I definitely Leverkusen is going to move on to the next round. Something opposite to that would be one of the biggest upsets of the competition. But, you know, trying to bet on a scoreline or as Alex is going to go with, I think he went with both teams to score, right? I don't know. This one is very tough to predict in many ways.
I think it's only tough because Karabakh will come here and have a back nine, and they will try and stay in the game.
Parking the bus, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because Leverkusen are going to dominate now. Leverkusen are going to probe, and it's going to be how long? The biggest surprise for me was not the draw. It was that it was a 2-2 draw. When I thought, if you told me this was a draw, I was more than happy to leave the last game alone because Karabakh's a tough place to go because they have Champions League experience. But now going to Leverkusen will find a way to win this game. Alex, do Karabakh score? Because at -115, flip them. There's your market right there. Because it's either Leverkusen and both teams score yes, or Leverkusen win to nil.
To be honest, it was very unfair for Karabakh not to win the reverse fixtures. They dominated. They had so many opportunities. They scored twice, and they conceded in the last minute of the game. What I like about Leverkusen
Alex, it's important that you remind people what happened half an hour before the end of that game, because he cleared his bench.
Half an hour before the end of the game, the stars, the most important player.
I rest my case.
Exactly. Came in and Florian Wirtz, Xhaka and all the rest. Then they scored, you know. So from two goals down, they managed to bring back the draw in Germany. And I think that Leverkusen will qualify. But +1300 for Karabakh is...
You've been hanging around with Paco too long.
No. But, okay, I think that...
You can see the glow in his eyes, yeah.
This Leverkusen side is so good. They are unbeaten this season. But let's not forget that they have the Bundesliga. They are 10 points above Bayern Munich, but they have an important match away at Freiburg. I don't think that +2.25 for Karabakh, I think that it's gold. This is what I think that is gold. This is why I'm expecting also Karabakh to find the back of the net. I really liked them also against Braga. Even when they lost at home 3-2 against Braga in extra time with a goal in the final minutes of the game, they played really good. They love to attack. And I think that Leverkusen will concede. This is why I'm going for both teams to score and just both teams to score. But for more value, I think that Karabakh +2.25 at -122 is gold, in my opinion.
Well, I had this down as 2-0, 2-1. Leverkusen just making sure that they win the game. They win the game. And the other thing they do not want is obviously extra time. Wow, this is a crazy game. But you can't talk me off of Leverkusen win to nil or Leverkusen both teams to score. But as you'll see when we have a look at the official picks now, because Leverkusen will, for the first hour, look to put this game to bed. First half, so there might be the one. Over 1.5 goals first half. That may be. I might have just touched on something there, by the way, because they do come out the traps when they need to. Both teams to score -110 for Paco's brother. And let's move on to the next game. Alex, you knew how strong I was on Roma last week. Now they go to Brighton, and Brighton are licking their wounds, but it's the bird's flown. They're out, finished. -115, Brighton hosting Roma at +292. Over or under set at 3, with the over 3 being at -112. Roma are basically 187 to score twice, but I think before you look at anything in this game, stay off the money line. I just couldn't trust either of these sides to go and win, but I do think that both will find the back of the net. Maybe Brighton to win and both teams to score.
Yeah, it's done and dusted. Roma will go through. There is no way that Brighton will come back. They don't have the experience. They don't have the quality to play with this De Rossi's team right now. De Rossi went fire on fire with his Roma team, even with a 2-2 draw against the Fiorentina. But man, what a match it was with Llorente scoring in the 95th minute. It's just what we want from a team. That fighting spirit that De Rossi brought to Roma is fantastic. And in a two-legged game, that is very important. And the way that Roma played in the first leg, saying that, okay, we go in England after that and we don't know what will happen. So we need this great lead that we took. So, okay, we are playing right now. I don't think that they will rotate at all. 1,000% they will put their best starting 11. They have the chance to go all the way into the semis or even final on how they are playing right now. But it's about goals, this one. Again, the over 3 is not exactly the way that I had in mind, but you can easily play the Alex Classic here because I think that also Brighton will score here.
Yeah, I've got this down. Brighton win. Both seem to score an over. And this is Brighton's last game until the 30th. So got nothing else to focus on other than this game. Could go Brighton half-time, full-time. But for me, it's just both teams to score and over, Paco.
Yeah, and I was just checking out a couple of interesting stats. Actually, the last two times I was listening to Alex, the last two times that Roma went to the Isles to play over to the United Kingdom, they lost with massive scorelines, plus 4 goals against them both times. 5-2 against Liverpool in 2018, 6-2 against Manchester United in 2021. Yeah, definitely. And Brighton, unfortunately, are in their debut season in UEFA competition. So in that sense, they are not going to be able to count on that kind of veteran experience, you know. And yeah, I think that Roma are one of the top dogs in the UEFA Europa League this season, definitely. And they might be one of the top candidates. But again, the Derby isn't a fan of rotations. If Mourinho was still at the helm, I definitely would say that on Thursday, would see like 11 different players because that's the way he rolls.
But hang on, if Mourinho was still at the helm, I wouldn't be seeing, first of all, Roma in this
4-0
position. Because they No. Because they wouldn't have got through the two legs against Feyenoord. Right,
yeah, definitely. And you would never see 4 goals being scored in a single game. That's not
the
way.
No, they get fined. The players get fined if they went over the halfway line when they got if they got 2-0 up. Now, listen, we love De Rossi. I spotted it within 15 minutes of De Rossi's first game, and I'm just running with Roma home away just because they keep playing because the manager is one of them. He will not let them ease up. But in this case, in this instance, at 4-0, he's not bothered if they get beat 2-1 as long as they do the right things.
Yeah, and you know, in the first game, the manager Pascal Gross was just overwhelmed with the way Roma played, and just he shrugged off the defeat, saying that you know the only thing that they could do was actually to improve in the second leg. So I don't know. I think we'll see goals in both teams, but Rome will move on to a following round. But you know, maybe Brighton getting a small win in the sense that it won't take anywhere, but you know, delivering that last gift to their fans in an unforgettable season for them. Ultimately, it's the first one in this kind of competition.
Yeah, and although they've not been great in the Premier League this year, been very hit and miss. For me, it's both teams to score an over, and it's a lot better price than just this straight over 3 at -112. Let's have a little look at the official picks before we go on to our final game, and I'm going to need some help from you when we get to the final game. Okay, both teams score an over is at -110, not caring who wins. Let's move on to the final game, and the final game is Liverpool versus Sparta Prague. Liverpool, my banker in last week, and even though they were expected to play the kids, but 5-1. I'm just having to look down. 5-1. The draw is at +500. Liverpool -325. Sparta Prague at +700. Now, I'm going to give you ample warning. Please get yourselves in the chat and find me a parlay piece from the other six games can be any price, because in this game we have a selection that's minus 175. The minus 175 is going to be the first leg of the parlay. So now I'd like you to come up with the second leg. Paco, take it away. Liverpool, Sparta Prague.
Yeah, I actually didn't realize that the odds were so against Sparta Prague and so in favor of Liverpool. I believe that, you know, even with the advantage in the first leg, as Liverpool are fighting for the Premier League title and they are, you know, in the mix with these kind of massive games in the last few weeks against Manchester City and so on, that maybe they would, you know, rotate a bit of their squad and maybe give the opposition a chance. But yeah, definitely it wasn't my riskiest pick in my history in this show. But again, they have been so good this season that I just can't think about anything else. You know, maybe speaking about goals or scoring the first half or both teams to score. I don't know. But it seemed reasonable too with the money line. But then I realized that actually the value isn't really there.
Yeah, or you could go with an anytime goal scorer. I think the good thing about this Liverpool side, Alex, is, and I've seen this with many sides, and I was involved in a really, really good squad at Sheffield Wednesday, is that when the team's going well on all fronts, every single individual that gets the opportunity to come into the side, they want to do well, they have to do well, and the confidence is so high. It's not like these players are getting their chance because the other players are not performing. It's because they're fighting on so many fronts that they all need to be rowing in the same direction. And they've been so impressive so far.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see a McConnell once again, a Clark, a Kumas, a Dans. Exactly.
I'd have Dans anytime goal scorer. He looks like he gets in the right area.
He is great. He's great. And I don't know what he did, but... This kindergarten team of Jurgen Klopp is performing better and better with every week, right? I'm looking for Gakpo, to be honest. He's due a goal, in my opinion, and I think that he will start against Prague here. So Cody Gakpo for me at 150 on the BetUS site. I don't know what to tell you on if they will cover or not the spread. They have the power to do it at minus 1.75 goals. I think that Liverpool should win at two or more goals. It was a disgrace what happened last weekend with that penalty not given for Liverpool against Manchester.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't give it.
Okay.
Strong words.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. You would give others that are not normally.
I think there were more robbed Arsenal away when Odegaard put his hand down and it was a brutal handball. I thought that this one was a 50-50 because he hit the ball first.
Yeah, but you cannot break his face or body even if you touch the ball first, you know? But anyway. But yes, Sparta Praga will come... not exactly in vacation, but nice to visit Liverpool. Nice to do some pictures with Mo Salah and the other people. I'm not saying that Sparta Prague is a really bad team, but not at this level. You cannot compare them to Liverpool. I think that Sparta Prague is a Conference League team right now. Their only problem is that Liverpool arrived to play in Europa League this year, right?
Yeah, but this is Liverpool, and it's Liverpool European night under the lights, and it'll be packed because that's what Liverpool fans do. And it's an opportunity for these young stars to basically experience this and put another string to their bow, another bit of experience in the tank. And Rick's saying there's no money to be made on this game. There's plenty. Why don't you have three anytime goal scorers? Because I think Liverpool probably do score three. And all go with Liverpool team total over 2.5 because this is not Liverpool laying down. Liverpool would want to go and win this game. And that's why, and I don't mind outing Paco early, Paco's gone with Liverpool to win and over 2.5, which is at minus 175, which I think we can all agree that we see happening. Now, what we're gonna have with it, like what parlay? Because I'm not sure I want the Atalanta Sporting, just both teams to score. Alex, would you have one?
No.
You wouldn't have a parlay with this game?
No, no, nothing on this game.
No, you would not even be able to. Would you find any of the other games if I was asking you for a parlay, though?
Yes, I like very much the two, Rangers, Benfica and Slavia, Milan, both the Alex Classic at minus 110 each. So probably you do the maths because you're better.
Yeah, but I tell you what, I'll do better than that. I won't even go with the Alex Classic. I'll go with the both teams to score in both games, parlay. And then I'm not even looking for a winner. You know what I mean?
Okay. So,
Because remember, you're putting it in with the Liverpool.
Also, you can add the third, Brighton-Roma. So Rangers-Benfica, Slavia-Praga-Milan, Brighton-Roma, both teams to score in each game.
Yeah, maybe we don't see many clean sheets in all of these games. Maybe it's an over 1.5 game parlay. But anyway, let's have a little look at the official picks. Paco saving up. Liverpool and over 2.5 at minus 175. But it is the first leg of your parlay, which you can then declare. And then maybe tell us on Friday at the Bundesliga show what you actually went for with it. Now's the time for a Q&A. If you've got any questions, now's the time to type. Because I'm going to ask you to subscribe to BetUS TV's number one subscribed channel, which is the soccer. And we've got so much for you, which will be evident if you ring the bell. Because that means we'll notify you and you'll never miss any content again. If you like your odds, your props, your numbers and your offers and bonuses, then please type in betustv.com/odds. Okay, why do I feel as if I've just missed something out there, because I've got so much to come in with. Yeah, that's right. How long is it? 45, so an hour, in an hour's, no 45 minutes time, it's the Players Championships on the Golf, Horse Racing and Tennis Channel. It's the fifth major. It is unbelievable. It's got the Island Green where you've like from 135 to 160, dependent on where they put the flag. And PGA Tour writer in Brady Cannon, he's going to be making his debut. And the thing is, he's not even going to be the best expert on the show. All right? Because I am. All right? Any questions? Hey, what are you laughing at? Hey. Those you start all that laughing with me,
that Paco's modesty. Brother.
You need one of these. Hey. One of these. That was definitely deserving of one of these.
Okay. Anyway, Deepak, what a great question. Who is going to win it all? Well, I bet this team twice yesterday morning. Alex, who wins it all?
Yeah, it's between Liverpool, in my opinion, and after that, I have them second in my rankings, Leverkusen and AS Roma.
Paco, who wins it all?
I see a tie of favourites between Leverkusen and Liverpool, yeah.
I see Liverpool all the way. I don't see Leverkusen getting anywhere close to it. The only one that may
maybe
worry me...
Maybe the treble.
No, I don't want the Premier League, no. No, I want them to be deducted Bundesliga points in the Premier League.
For Leverkusen, the treble, not Liverpool, the treble.
I've got my parlays on Madrid and Man City. But anyway, yeah, I backed Liverpool twice yesterday.
It would be great for Jurgen Klopp to go with either Premier League
nothing.
And Europa.
He's already got the Carabao Cup that he won on penalties. Anyway, I ain't got time to be talking about this because I've got to get ready for the Players' Championships. I cannot wait. We got off to Sawgrass. Paco, let's have a little look at your best bets, please. Marseille, money line, plus 185. Liverpool and over 2.5 at minus 175. Alex has gone for Rangers Benfica. The Alex Classic at minus 110. Slavia Prague, Milan. The Alex Classic at minus 110. Leverkusen and Karabag, both teams to score at minus 110. Slavia Prague, Milan, draw for me at plus 285. And Brighton Roma, the Alex Classic, again at minus 110. Then I've left this game because Paco's gone for Sporting Lisbon at Moneyline at +274. What a donation. Alex has gone for Sporting, double chance at -115. But there in yellow, which could have been yellow yesterday when I gave out a banker in the Champions League, but it was blue, but it's nice that it's returned back to yellow, is Atalanta to beat Sporting at -115. Really enjoyed this show, surprisingly enough, considering you're on.
What a bad attitude. He's cranky.
Not only that he's going against us with Atalanta money.
That's
line
exactly,
as
yeah, back, yeah.
He's talking about your problem. That he has a problem because Paco is in right now.
So give
him the red, please. Yeah. Show him the red, please.
You deserve this. I'm so sorry.
Paco. Okay, but we'll still have a beer. We'll still have a beer. I'll shake hands and we'll have a beer after the game. It's just that while we're out on the pitch, I can't believe you're going for Sporting. As for you, Alex, we'll give you a two-day suspension. That means I may see you back on Friday morning for the Bundesliga where you continue great work. Great work you're doing in the Bundesliga. Paco, listen, mate, it's great to see you. Love to the family. I hope they're all well and look forward to seeing you again soon. From everyone at BetUS, hope you've enjoyed the Europa League and we're going to take it up a notch or two over the coming weeks. You take care.